So network modeling is a specific type of infectious disease modeling. There's different subtypes to it. But what we're looking at is connections between premises is what I'm going to call them. So in my specific project, our premises are not just including farms where animals are present, but also managerial premises. We have data on feed premises, processing premises, truck washes. And so all of those are all interconnected within the farming system. And so what we're trying to do is be able to incorporate how those are going to affect disease spread.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. Through innovative solutions, cutting-edge research, and world-class experts, Boehringer Ingelheim helps producers operate with complete confidence. Learn more at bi-animalhealth.com. Farm Health Guardian, digital technology for better biosecurity. Farm Health Guardian is a proven biosecurity software system that helps you improve compliance and reduce disease risk. Why choose Farm Health Guardian? Automate downtime and health status management for large systems. Get biosecurity breach alerts for trucks and trailers. Prevent unauthorized access to your barns with controlled entry technology. And speed up disease investigations with automated traceback reports. Check out what our customers are saying at farmhealthguardian.com.
Welcome to the Swine Health Black Belt Podcast, the latest swine health research digested for you. My name is Dr. Clayton Johnson, and I'm the host of the podcast. Joining me in our podcast studios this week is Dr. Tara Prezioso. Dr. Prezioso is a DVM and MPH and is currently a PhD candidate at the University of Illinois. Dr. Tara, thanks so much for coming on the show. If you would, let's start with a little introduction and let the audience know a little bit about yourself.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Clayton. Like you said, I'm Tara Prezioso. I am currently in my fourth year of my PhD program in epidemiology at the University of Illinois at the vet school. I am also concurrently doing an applied master's of statistics as well to help with the research. I'm a DVM graduate of North Carolina State University, 2008, and I've been in general practice for the last 15 or so years and decided to come back to school. So I'm here today to talk to you about the current research project that I'm doing.
Yeah, well, we're excited to have you on, Tara. And this will be one where I'm listening a lot more than talking, because you're studying in a cool field, an emerging field. You're looking at modeling infectious disease epidemiology in livestock, and specifically using network modeling to do that. And I can explain that and say all those words, but that's about as far as I can take it, Tara. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what does that mean and what is your project you're working on?
Sure. So network modeling is a specific type of infectious disease modeling. There's different subtypes to it. But what we're looking at is connections between premises is what I'm going to call them. So in my specific project, our premises are not just including farms where animals are present, but also managerial premises. We have data on feed premises, processing premises, truck washes. And so all of those are all interconnected within the farming system. And so what we're trying to do is be able to incorporate how those are going to affect disease spread. And then on a network, each one of those, what those are called nodes. And then the connections between those nodes are called edges or links, which are basically the movements. And you'll see that there's a lot more, you know, this has been going on in Europe for a lot longer than in the United States. But we are definitely catching up. And now with all of the current technology, we're doing more and more network modeling for the U.S. Livestock system. And more importantly, in swine at this point.
You've got a treasure trove of data at your fingertips from the PED outbreaks, the PED introduction into the United States, and kind of watching as that moved through that network you described, right? Pig farms to slaughterhouses to feed mills to all the other locations that there's cross traffic that happens. And you've been working, I think, to try and understand, you know, how that disease spread, and then how can we use that to forecast maybe some other disease spread work for future disease outbreaks. You know, God forbid we get ASF or foot and mouth, something like that. But I guess talk to us a little bit about, you know, how can you uniquely apply that data? Where do you get all that data from? And then how do you apply it in a practical sense?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. So the data that I have for my project is from a company called Farm Health Guardian. They have movement data for systems that are within under their company. And so what they've done is everything is completely anonymized. I don't know names. I don't know even what country these farms are in. We can anonymize their location, so I can still do spatial analyses as well with latitude and longitude. But what I see is farms in the ocean, sure, not where they are.
Yep.
So it's really cool because that privacy is definitely a big factor that a lot of people are worried about. So as the researcher, I don't need any of that stuff. And so Farm Health Guardian is really good about anonymizing everything, working with me. And then, of course, I have to give credit to the farms that are allowing me to use their data as well. Even though I don't know who they are, I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And so this data is all the movements going on and off these premises. And movements, I mean, not just animal movements, but also truck movements such as feed trucks or mortality trucks or even service vehicles. So people who are coming on the farm to fix the air conditioning unit are have to sign in. And so anybody who comes in and on the farm, visitors, veterinarians, workers, they're all pinged when they come onto the premises via a geofence. And so what I get is I get a ping of a specific entry where I can follow that entry within the whole system. And then that is how I build my network via temporal. And so I can measure temporal changes, how the network changes throughout time. And then when you link that with the disease aspect, now I can follow the disease where it hits and then in what time frame. And I could see if there's any links between that disease and the movements that are occurring. So it's really cool. And yes, I have PDV data, probably back to about 2017. And so that's one way I can validate my epidemiological model is once I can simulate spread on the network, I can then compare it to what actually occurred.
Yep.
And so I can validate if my model is good or not by saying, hey, my model mimicked what actually happened over the last 7 years or so. And if it doesn't, then I can go back and redo it again. So what this will give us is a way to monitor where disease is going to go in the future. And mentioning before, PDV was a new disease that came into the U.S. I think it was, 2013. And so we were able to see how that occurred, what happened when it came in. And so because it has different points of contact, like it can be spread or different types of transmission via direct and indirect contacts, we can actually use that as a proxy for some of the foreign animal diseases, such as African swine fever, which is where my passion is, you know, that's something that instant, you know, almost 100% mortality. If that came into the U.S., we would be in trouble. Yeah. So I'd like to help protect that. So by studying PDV, not only can I help farms with their PDV outbreaks, but we can also use that for foreign animal disease outbreaks as well.
I know that your research looks at a metric called the path length, the average path length in your animal movement network. It's a metric I wasn't familiar with until we chatted, but you might share with the audience, what's that metric mean and what are the results that you see? Why is the metric important and what are we learning from your evaluation on that metric?
Yeah, so the networks are first, we want to determine a structure. And as we all know from grade school, structure determines function. So the way things are built or the way things are put together is going to determine how things occur. And in this example, the structure of the movements is going to determine the outcome of the disease outbreaks. So by determining these structures. So one of these statistical structures is called the average path length. And what that means is it takes any two points in the network, no matter where they are, you randomly just pick two premises, and it tells you how many steps or how many jumps it takes to go from one side to the other side. And so it's a measure of connectivity. It tells us how connected our network is. And we can infer that saying the more connected the network is, the more likely disease or the easier it is for a disease to spread across it. So we have my calculated average path length in this research project is around 3, which is actually pretty low. And comparing that to some of the other papers in the U.S., it's comparable. If you compare it to some of the systems outside the U.S., say the EU, they have a higher average path length. So the way our production system is going right now, it looks like we're well connected, and it might be easier for disease to spread. And so we all think about hubs inside. That's another network structure. And everyone's like, oh, well, if you stop disease at the hub, then you can stop it from spreading across the whole network. But if you have an average path length that's really low, that means that there's links around those hubs. So even if we focus our resources, or even if we focus our monetary issues like around those hubs to try to prevent disease, there's always another path that disease can take and get around that. And that's going to be a really important part in these simulations as we move forward. And specifically with this network as well, there's also another metric that I can measure over time, and it's called the farthest reaching path, which is another type of path length. And what that says is when you randomly pick any premise to start from, how many steps does it take to get to any other or get to the rest of the network? And we've already run that in some situations. And no matter where we start in this network, we reach all of the farms within about 5 time steps. So that's a little scary as well. Now, these are all preliminary results, and they don't take into consideration some of the biosecurity that's occurring, the truck washes, things like that. And so that will eventually be built into the network so that we can measure what happens if you have certain biosecurity protocols. How will that change spread as well? So it's all pretty cool stuff.
Salmonella presents significant challenges to pig health and performance and poses food safety risks to humans. As the first and only vaccine offering live attenuated strains of both Salmonella cholera suis and Typhimurium, Enterosol Salmonella TC from Boehringer Ingelheim protects pigs against both serotypes with a single oral dose. Talk to your Boehringer Ingelheim representative to learn more.
It's really cool. Where can we go from here? As you look into your crystal ball, what follow-up research do you expect to be conducted as the database continues to grow of real movements that you can compare your modeled movement to? You know, where does this thing have opportunities to take us in the future?
Yeah, so this, I keep specifically talking about maybe my network, but with similar data, we can apply this to other livestock systems, other swine systems, other species, and we can also apply it to any disease that people might be interested in looking at if something specific to their production system. So it could be pretty versatile. Eventually, what I'd like to do is bring in some artificial intelligence. That's a big scary thing, AI. But it's not the AI that everyone's thinking of. It's called statistical learning. And so what it does is, as we have more data put into the system, it's going to change its outcome by learning what happened. And so the hopes is towards the end that I should be able to predict for certain systems that are having, say, outbreaks, which farm is going to be next. And hopefully what we can do is stop at that point and say, okay, if I think it's going here, let's shut this movement down before it gets there.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can stop the general spread. And the faster we do that, the less, you know, the more animals we save and the less resources we have to use. So overall, it's just going to be a big economic savings for for everyone.
As an industry, Tara, we've got to become more proactive when it comes to disease prevention and less reactive of just saying, oh, this happened to us again. Your work is going to go a long way to help us make an informed decisions of where to put those barriers in place. And I can't thank you enough for doing it in the first place, but also for coming on the show and chatting with our audience about it.
Thank you. I really appreciate it, Clayton. Thanks for having me. And if anybody has any questions, then I'm happy to receive emails at the university. So you can look me up. I'm a grad student in pathobiology, and if anybody needs any additional info.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Dr. Prezioso, for coming on to the podcast. It's been a pleasure to chat with you, and I want to thank our audience as well. We've got a large group of folks, Tara, that listen to this podcast, watch us on the YouTube, and really appreciate them for doing that, because that's what ultimately makes this work. For Dr. Tara Prezioso, I'm Dr. Clayton Johnson. This has been the Swine Health Black Belt Podcast, and we really appreciate you joining us. Please have a great rest of your day.